As Jesus is the head of the church, it is only through Christ that we can have salvation. That was preached by Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." What difference does it make, someone may say? It makes a lot of difference. When you go back to Acts chapter 17, where we were at a moment ago, he gives the reason for that. Why would it matter to those people in the city of Athens on that occasion? What difference would it make? You know, there's a lot of people today who would say, what difference does it make what you believe? What difference does it make how you worship? Well, it made a lot of difference to these people. Here's a good example of that. If it made no difference, why did Paul even stand up and risk his own life to proclaim these things to these people? Why didn't he just say, well, yeah, you're very superstitious, you're very religious, you're worshiping, even though you don't know the God of heaven, but that's okay. If it made no difference at all. But notice what the Bible says in verses 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 17. In the times of this ignorance, remember they were ignorant of God. The times of this ignorance, God once winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Verse 31 tells us, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That's the man that I'm telling you we need to know about. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. He who comes to God needs to know about Jesus, the Savior of the world. In John chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, "The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son." God wants you to know about Him, and we do too. And you need to know Him and to believe in Him and obey Him. So number three, as we think about the phrase, "He who comes to God," we need to understand who man is. I want to say this by way of putting us in our place, beginning with me. We need to understand that God is God and we are not. You're not God, neither am I. I don't know more than God, and neither do you. I don't understand more than God, and neither do you. God knew what was the best plan, and man did not. Man could not. And so we need to understand that about ourselves. That God is God and we are not. I can't say that enough to us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when man rebelled and sinned against God, God told Adam he was taken from the earth, and to the earth he was going to return. Now the next time that we think we need to get puffed up about who we are, and perhaps what we think we've achieved in this life, and how much we know, we need to recognize very strongly and clearly and quickly that we were taken out of that which we walk upon, and that's what we're going to return to. We need to recognize that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6, "Forever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern," then what's going to happen? "Then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." In Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And so Jesus gave them that model prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." Remember reading that? In verse 3, he said, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Now, Matthew's account renders it, "Give us this day our daily bread." Say the same thing. But perhaps it's easier for us to get the message of what he's teaching, our dependence on God, by that phrase as rendered in Luke's account, "Give us day by day our daily bread." See, the problem is sometimes we don't depend upon God, we depend upon self. And when we hoard up all the various things that we like to hoard up in this life that we can taste, touch, smell, see, and so forth, we soon forget about God. That was a problem that the children of Israel had of long ago. God blessed them and drove out those enemies before them. Those seven nations gave them the land. And it wasn't soon before they forgot about how they got there. Give us day by day our daily bread. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 45. During this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. We're dependent upon God for our physical blessings. It's God who sends the showers. It's God who sends the rays of the sun and have put those things in place. And we need to thank him for that. We're here today because God sustained us. In Psalm 3, verse 5, the psalmist declared, I lay me down and slept. I await for the Lord, sustain me. And not only are we dependent upon God for our physical being, we are for our spiritual being. All those blessings that we have of a spiritual nature are afforded to us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Folks, those outside of Christ don't have access to those. You can have, but those spiritual blessings, he's given to those who have obeyed him. And you can obey him today if that's your desire. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, the prophet said of old, Lord, the way of man is not in himself, it lieth not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We're dependent on God for that. But as we think about he who comes to God, number four, it involves a purposing of the heart. Every time I think about the heart and I think about purposing our heart, I think about Ezra as recorded in Ezra 7 and in verse 10. But Ezra prepared his heart. What for? To seek the law of the Lord. To do it. And to teach in Israel statutes. That's the kind of heart that we need. We need to have the mentality, the mind that says I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to seek the will of the Lord, I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to teach it to others. In Matthew 22:37, we are admonished that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul. That was brought out in a recent Bible study, I believe. We need to understand that. Do we love God that much? Do we? Have we purposed in our heart that that's the type of heart that we're going to have? Look, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and in verse 22. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That which we offer to God today is in stark contrast to that which they offered to God. They did a physical offering to God in the sense of those animal sacrifices. We come together on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, in a fashion like this, as the spiritual house of God, as priests of God, and we offer up to God spiritual sacrifices. To worship God in spirit and in truth. The Lord said that we must do in John chapter 4 and in verse 24. We need to purpose that we're going to do that. In Psalm 42, there's a hymn that was taken from this psalm. Even though the hymn is worded in a little bit of a different way. As the deer panteth and so forth, thirsteth. Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. At when shall I come and appear before God? What's our heart like this Lord's Day? Have we purposed that we're going to obey Him and live a life that is pleasing unto Him? But number five, it involves a denial of self. That's not always easy. That's not always easy. Sometimes that can be very, very difficult for us to put aside the things that bring us pleasure, bring us happiness, make us feel good, in order to be pleasing to God. But that's necessary. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, that he who comes to him must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. That's a tall order. But it's possible if we will deny self. In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, Paul is writing to Christians. And he writes to them and says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In essence, Paul is saying, I don't live the way that I used to. I'm crucified with Christ. I live the life that I'm now living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Can we say the same? In Acts 9, 6, the attitude that Paul displayed on the way to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I wish more people today would have that mindset to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then go to his word and search that and upon finding it to obey it and render obedience to it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. That's where our interest needs to be. A denial of self. The number 6. It'll do us no good to know about God, to know about Jesus, to recognize who we are, to recognize that it necessitates a denial of oneself if we'll do nothing about it. And so he who comes to God must recognize it involves a submission to the will of God in obedience. You could come this morning, maybe your condition is again, you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ. You could listen to a message like this, and at the close of the service you could say, Preacher, that was a good sermon. Thank you. We'll see you next time. And not do anything about it. You could do that. But if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, it would profit you absolutely nothing having heard this message if you don't obey it. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. In James 4:7, talks about submitting to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in that question, which is really a rhetorical question, which means to ask it is to answer it. In Luke 4, chapter 6, rather, verse 46, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, what's the rest of it? And do not the things that I say. Oh, we're quick to sing about, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. But Jesus said, Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and not obeying what I'm saying? And so, folks, if we've never obeyed, or if we have obeyed but initially, but we're not faithful to Him, we have no business whatever saying that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. If we do, it's just mere lip service. And to obey is better than sacrifice. Number 7. We've got to develop an appetite for learning. This is something that has to be developed. A longing to know the will of God. A longing to sit down and know what this book says. the best we can. Everyone doesn't grow at the same rate. You may get a lot of the things out of the Bible a lot quicker than I can. Quicker than someone else. Someone else may be able to do it, understand it quicker than you. But we've got a purpose and develop an appetite for learning. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we don't, we'll stunt our growth. In Hebrews 5:12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, as opposed to the strong meat. They had stunted their growth evidently. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. In Psalm 19, it's an interesting study to see how many times the Bible refers to the Word of God or links it to food in some way. Remember what the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But in Psalm 19, verses 10 and 11, notice what the psalmist declared, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And so if we're going to come to God, we're going to have an appetite for learning. Picking up the book and putting our nose in it. Wearing out the seat of our breeches, as some may put it. And study to God. Burn the midnight oil. And learn what He would have us to do. Last one. It involves a determination for lifelong discipleship. Maybe we have obeyed and fallen away and been restored and so forth along life's way. But we have got to determine that when we obey God, that it is for life. The Bible says in John 6, verses 66 through 68, that from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Isn't that sad? That so many of them turned their back on Jesus, but then He turned and said to the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I ask you the question, if you were to turn and go away from the Lord, where would you go? Where? No one has what the Lord has to offer. And so if the Lord were asking you face to face, in person, will you also go away? What would your response be? Where am I going? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lifelong discipleship, faithfulness to Him. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, there was a certain man who said, Lord, I'll go with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, we don't know the motive of that individual smudge. I don't know what the text says about that situation. But we'll go with you whithersoever thou goest. Is that our mindset? 1 Corinthians 15:1, talking about the gospel, and he says, wherein ye stand, take a stand. And don't be moved away. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Are we faithful to Him? He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I ask you this morning, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Folks, you don't have to give an answer to me. God already knows the answer to that. And let me tell you, whatever it may be that would hinder you from coming forth in obedience to the gospel, God already knows that. And Jesus once asked a question, if a man were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what did it profit him? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And I don't know what's hindered you from obeying the gospel, but whatever it is simply is not worth it. And you ought not give that in exchange for the salvation of your soul. God stands ready to pardon you of everything you've ever committed against Him if you'll obey Him. There's only one way to do that, and that's to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, so many faith cometh by hearing and hear by the Word of God. We build our sermon this morning on Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Or Acts 3:19, repent and be converted. That's necessary. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. We talked about those spiritual blessings being in Christ according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. In Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 26, beginning, the Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith, whereat? In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and theirs according to the promise. Don't delay, but you need to come forth and obey the gospel of Christ. All things are ready. We take you this morning, baptize you into Christ, and you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your eternal home. But maybe you have done that and you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you for you. If you want to go to heaven, we bid you come.